it never occurred to me most of the time when I was the only woman in the room that, oh, geez, I'm the only woman in the room, right? I have held very high level positions, and we have hired the best people for all the positions here at Fran Fund. And coincidentally, 75% of those people happen to be female.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. March is Women's History Month, and with that in mind, we are going to spotlight some female pioneers, some innovators, some of the next generation of superstar women in the world of franchising, and boy, do we have a great one for you today. But before we get to this amazing person, quick reminder of who we are. Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals like yourself interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with well over 600 of the top franchisors in the country, spanning nearly 70 industries. Our number one goal, as always, is to help properly educate you on all aspects of franchise ownership and then help you find what is your absolute best franchise to own. That's a little bit about us. Now let's get to our guest. All right, so that's a bit about us. Now joining us today, I am super excited because we have not just one of the best female leaders in franchising, but just one of the best leaders in general and just best human beings in general. And so she is the president of Fran Fund, which is the capital letters, T-H-E, the premier franchise funding company. Joining us, please welcome Sherry Sieber. Sherry, thanks for being here today.
Wow, Tim, that introduction is second to none. Thank you for the accolades of both myself and my company.
It is. They're kind of one and the same, because it's not going to be a great company without a great leader. And let's be honest, you and I have been in franchising a while. We can point to some franchises that is that the case
two.
And not.
Yes.
And not. So no, always a pleasure talking to you, and always been great working with your team over these years. So
Thanks so much.
And I've got a bunch of things I want to chat with you about today. Certainly want to give you a chance to pitch Fran Fund a little bit. Tell us more about that. But to start off with, I think, as you well know, franchising is really about the people. And so I like hearing stories. So tell us a little bit about how you even got into franchising back at the beginning of this.
I think, as with many people, you might be mildly fascinated by my entree into the franchise world. I pretty much married it. although I wasn't, been married 40 plus years, and my husband has been in franchising literally his entire career. He's owned franchises, he's worked for franchisors, et cetera, et cetera. He was the co-founder of a broker network a few years ago, and I would attend meetings with him just as a spouse. So I got to know a lot of people during that time and a lot about the industry. But during that time, I had my own career. I started out at Motorola and operations side. I ran factories. I ran supply chains. I, visited customers and ran factories in seven different countries. And then I got recruited by a contract manufacturer when that became very popular. And that's when I left the operations side, went to the sales side, and that expanded my reach even further around the world. And so in my travels, I've been to 26 different countries. I've had people reporting to me from many different continents. And at the age of 50, I decided that the jet lag was not worth the money. So I came home one day and told Jeff I was retiring, and that lasted about 3 whole months, because I found out pretty quickly that I am not a very good lady who lunches. In other words, I'm not a good charity volunteer or anything like that. I'm too bossy for them.
Right.
So about that same time, close to that same time, Jeff had started with Fran Fund, and the idea of Fran Fund was to put multiple funding solutions under one roof. And trying to get that off the ground and get people to actually send us candidates, he said, "Well, since you're home doing nothing, you know some of these people. Why don't you start giving them a call?" And that was in 2008. And a few phone calls a day turned into 24/7 pretty quickly.
And here we are, how that's math involved, but that's at 16 years.
Yes,
16 years?
that is 16 years.
Don't quote me on that. So and so super cool. So a couple things. Number one, you and your husband both being in franchising, there's no way a married couple can survive in franchising together. So you and I both well know that. It takes
Yes.
one spouse that's awesome, which would be us, and then our spouses that are just, they're kind of along on our coattails. So mine won't watch this, so I know I can get away with saying that without any repercussions. So
I actually think you're safe because there's no really denying that. And a couple of big comments I want to make is first, both he and I are competitive people. And so let's say 25 years ago, I could have never worked with him side by side or any other way. But age tends to mellow the drama. And I think that anything with more than one head is a freak. So even though we operate pretty equally here, that's done by specific roles and responsibilities and not overlapping, and one person's office being at least 100 feet away from the other person's office. And but back to the more than one head being a freak, somebody's got to be the ultimate decider. So as much as I hate to admit it, that is not me. But I don't often need his opinion. So it works out great.
Perfect. I love it. Yeah, if nothing else, try different states. That works really well
Yeah,
sometimes too.
you're doing
So
that. You're doing a great job at that.
so tell us a little bit about, so Fran, I want to, this is obviously really a focus on kind of the Women's History Month and amazing leaders in franchising, but let's not gloss over Fran Fund. I always say in franchising, we ain't too bright, so we usually make the name of what it is pretty obvious. So I'm going to guess Fran, short for franchising, Fund, short for funding. But tell us a little bit about Fran Fund, the different services, and why you guys are constantly, like, entepreneur top, entrepreneur top, entrepreneur top. Like, you ran out of space on the
Love it,
on the
love it.
website. So tell us a little bit about Fran Fund.
Never tired of being at the top. Fran Fund really was the first company to put the idea of multiple funding solutions under one roof. And of course, our competition very quickly followed because it's a good idea. And by multiple funding solutions, what I mean is prior to Fran Fund, you wanted an SBA loan, you had to go and find a bank that was willing to do that. And that same bank would not be able to talk to you about the rollover for business startup process where you're able to invest qualified retirement funds into your own business. And so that was really the genesis. And that allowed us and the candidate to get farther along and be more comfortable in their investigation by sort of understanding what their options were. So we started then and we still do today, we'll talk to candidates about products that we don't actually do. So we do actually do SBA packaging and consulting, and that includes the first level of underwriting. So when we send a package to a lender, they pretty much drop anything else they're working on that's not complete and start working on a Fran Fund package because all the hard parts are done, right? And then, but if the person can't do an SBA loan or the rollover doesn't completely cover what they're trying to do or they can't do it, we'll talk to them about an unsecured line of credit, which that product has improved over the years. We don't do that in-house, but we have a partner that we don't mind referring, and that's saying something big, right? You can't always depend on your partner's carrying on your own philosophy, but we've got an unsecured lender that does a good job there. We talk to people about how to possibly use their home equity line of credit. and when not to use it. For example, we would advise somebody who does have the ability to get an SBA loan or do a rollover or both that has home equity. And lots of times they'll say, but I've got this low interest home equity loan. We'll talk to them about that being a great rainy day fund. We'll talk about if it's appropriate, and equipment leasing was a big thing a few years ago. It's not as easily, it's not as, how should we say, cost appropriate anymore, unless it's a specific brand that has a specific equipment package, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, all the different ways that are possible, we talk about with the candidates. And so that allows them to take their eye off of how they're going to pay for it and focus back on identifying which brand fits their lifestyle, financial, et cetera, goals, and working with the consultant.
Awesome. No, I love it. And I think the, I like how you said that is because I think it's probably why, we've worked together for so long is that I think this should be about, all about education, because this is stuff that it's scary. People don't know how to find the best franchise, and then they can get excited about it, but how in the heck am I going to make that happen? And your team does such a good job of just educating them and consulting them and not trying to like push. It's really that consultative. Let's educate you, help you determine what's the best. If it's the ROBS, if it's the SBA, then you're doing basically all of the legwork for them and really being that kind of advisor and consultant for them along the way, which is amazing.
We do not need to sell, because if you can't, first of all, you can't sell money to somebody that's not planning on buying anything, right? So there's that. And then, it's just like going to a car showroom. This is an oft-used, antidote, but you need to know when you go into a car showroom whether you're going to be buying that one that's on the revolving platform with all 100,000 lights on it. Or if you're in the back lot looking for, two or three times owned cars, right? And so fear is, as you well know, a major part of the finding the right franchise process. And so you should be spending, you should get the how am I going to pay for it out of the way and focus on doing the due diligence and figuring out which franchises are the best matches. And then we stay in touch with the candidate as they're going through the process to make sure, A, they don't take a left turn and go from one brand to another that has a completely different total project cost or whatever. And then we work with them to, hey, when do you plan on being open? When are you planning on signing your agreement? We need to back up from that. And that's when we need to start your funding process. So we try and align so that there's a perfect storm, so to speak, of when everything comes together.
And when it's done properly, I think just in franchising, it should always get to the end and you're like, oh my gosh, yes, this is it. You shouldn't feel sold, pressure that you're buying, confused. It really should just be it's absolutely this franchise. It's absolutely this funding option. And so again, like I love that. And I know your team does such a good job of it. Tell me a little bit about kind of your journey in franchising. And even certainly before, that's really professional when you knock something off as you're talking with your hands. Who were, I guess, maybe some of the challenges for you rising up in franchising or even pre-franchising? Some of the challenges as a woman, certainly in franchising, tends to be a little male dominated. And how were you able to overcome them?
That's a fun tale to tell. First of all, from the very beginning of my career, I was in male-dominated industries. And for some reason, my personality is perhaps unusual in that it never occurred to me most of the time when I was the only woman in the room that, oh, geez, I'm the only woman in the room, right? And so I have held very high level positions, and my husband's man enough to have accompanied me on various, like my last company had a CEO conference, and so that was the top people in the country. He was one of two trailing spouses out of 100 people. So, he's it, and so We have hired the best people for all the positions here at Fran Fund. And coincidentally, 75% of those people happen to be female. We did not seek females on purpose. Again, we hired the best people for the job. And we have an extremely powerful team. One of the things I have always preached is, as you're on your way up, you should, you're pushing the people ahead of you and you're pulling the people behind you. Like you're pulling everybody up. I love mentoring other women, even other men, if it's necessary. But, there are certain ways to show and demonstrate leadership and to get the respect that leaders need. And a lot of that starts with the person. It doesn't start with externally, it starts internally. And so that was my point earlier of saying I just had that, confidence, I guess. My mom gave me some advice a few years ago, many years ago, actually. She said, "Sherry, you're no better than anybody else, but nobody else is better than you. So you can do whatever you want." And even though that is so simple, that's brilliant advice. It's absolutely brilliant. So as a result, I have been fearless to approach anybody, anywhere. And I actually love people too, so that helps. And then the philosophy behind Fran Fund is, one of our main tenets is communication solves all problems, really. I like proactive communication. I like to be on offense, not defense. I like to make sure that our candidates, even after they've engaged and going through the loan process, we'll call them just to say, "Hey, we don't really have anything new to tell you, but everything's going fine." And you just hear this sigh of relief in people's voices because, so I like relationships. I like both referral sources and candidates to, if possible, to be buddies, all working towards the same goal of helping people change their lives with franchise ownership. And that's been a lot of fun for me.
Hey everyone, I want to take a moment to spotlight one of our premier franchise partners, Arkadek. Arkadek is the world's largest designer of all the cool things in your backyard. Custom decks, porches, screen porches, outdoor fireplaces, outdoor kitchens, pergolas, gazebos, you name it. If it's something cool and amazing in the backyard, Arkadek can do it for you. Sounds amazing, but guess what? As an owner, you don't need any design or construction experience. You need to be a people person. You need to be able to connect with your customers, your contractors that are doing the work, and in the community to build those relationships, to be that go-to person for all the incredible things you're going to build in people's backyard. You don't need an office. You don't need stuff. You just need yourself, eventually maybe a small little staff to build off of that. And as part of the Empower Brand group of franchises, you're going to have fantastic marketing support, all of the design and creative technology, really everything you need to be successful. What you need is want to be a person that can grow a big, huge business, helping people create this amazing thing in their backyard. If all this sounds like it might be a great fit for you, our team at Fran Coach is here to help you find the perfect fit. Perhaps it's Arkadek. Let's chat, and we can help you create your better tomorrow. Hey everyone, I wanted to take a quick break from our podcast to tell you about our amazing friends at Entrepreneur. If you're looking to become a franchisee or simply learn more about business ownership, and guys, let's be honest, you're listening to the Franchising 101 podcast, so we know you have some interest in this. And I really encourage you to go to entrepreneur.com to check out all of their great content and resources. Seriously, Entrepreneur has everything, all the way from a bookstore to the best podcasts, webinars, and videos, plus information on upcoming events and the latest articles that seriously, they cover all aspects of franchising and business ownership. If you're having trouble deciding which franchise is right for you, start with Entrepreneur's renowned Franchise 500 ranking, which highlights the best franchises of 2022. For 45 years and counting now, Entrepreneur has been and continues to be the most widely recognized and respected authority in the franchise market. Digital and print subscriptions are available, so you never miss out on anything. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to entrepreneur.com right now and learn more. you talk about the 75% of Fran Fond being women. I think the other thing that's really I pay a lot of attention to is the tenure of people in an organization, right? And I've been doing this almost 10 years now, and the three people I know the best, they've been there longer than me, right?
Yes.
So like that speaks volumes of, because people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses, right? And so they're in an amazing organization from that. And I know not just those three, but there's an incredible tenure within Fran Fond because of the culture and the organization you guys have built.
We have always sort of treated the team when there was four people, six people, 10 people, 20 people. We are a family, all with the same goal in mind, but personal goals, financial goals, lifestyle goals, just like any other business owner, but making sure that you have your team around you that are all on the same page. Fran Fond just sort of self-evolved as a company that works hard and plays hard. Therefore, if somebody comes in the company and their peer group think they're not working as hard as they should, they either self-select that this may not be the place for me,
Right.
or we help them select that option. But really, that's sort of, we keep the team with everybody working hard. And then when we play hard, I mean, we have simple birthday celebrations every month, but then we have when the funding consultants, the sales team, more or less, although we don't really sell, but when they're all in town, they sort of suck the air out of the room. So we always make sure to have the entire company together because, none of them are actually in the office here. And we have great Christmas parties. We'll have a summer pool party at Casa Ciber. And anyway, we have good relationships, and you have to have that to make your company successful. The other thing
Yes.
I'm very proud of is that the funding consultants support each other. They don't compete with each other. They are, believe that a rising tide raises all boats. And so that makes sure that you, for example, if you send a referral and your favorite funding consultant's not in town, there is no gap.
Right.
Something's happening. Something's being taken care of.
Yep. They're all my favorites, Sherry. You mentioned kind of throughout your career and having times where you were the only woman in the room, right? And just like, hey, that was the thing. Somewhere along the line, I'm guessing there has been another. You talk about mentoring others. Who was maybe a mentor for you that you remember that really kind of helped you out?
My mentor was a male. back in the manufacturing world, and there's just a few behavior I think, first of all, I'm of an age. I think that's pretty obvious, but things have changed over the years in terms of how what opportunities women have and where they can go and what they can do. And so I sort of feel like I was one of the pioneers of showing that it can be done. And I had this particular guy, short story. It was when I was at Motorola. It was when I was in supply chain before I, ended up being a pretty high level. But back when I was a buyer, purchasing manager or whatever, we had a part shortage from the company Seiko, which obviously they
Okay.
make watches, but they also make crystal oscillators. And it was shutting, it would shut down the entire factory. And so wasn't, thank God, it wasn't the buyer's fault. It's the factory in Japan, because the Japanese, we'd say we need to increase capacity, and they would nod their head up and down, yes. But all they meant was, yes, I hear you. It doesn't mean, yes, I'm going to do anything. But I had to start going to the highest level guy and explaining what was happening. And so I love data, being the numbers person that I am, I had this whole thing laid out in Excel spreadsheets and all this, when's it coming, blah, blah, blah. And my mentor said, Sherry, When you're going to that level, you start out with answering the question with 3 to 5 words. If there's no more questions, you're done. If there's a second question, then you may say 10 words, 10 to 15 words. Usually that'll do it. If there happens to be a third question, then you can whip out all your stuff. But it never gets there, you
Yes.
know. And so, I mean, that's just some good advice. You can apply that in so many ways. Don't answer a question that hasn't been asked.
Yes. Yes. I've joked about that in trainings over the years. There was a TV show that I watched way too many times called The West Wing. And there was a scene in there, but it was like the question was, do you know what time it is? And the person is like, doing what pretty much everybody I've ever asked that question to. Yeah, it's, 12:30. That's not what I asked. I said, do you know what time it is? Yes.
Yes.
It's hard, right? When you're in that position, you have all this information, you want to sh share everything or overtell, when all I really, like, I didn't need the history of time. I needed to know, do you know what time it is? Yes. So I love that.
I'll share with you that we have, well, so I wanted a coach for the team on communication because the majority of our communication is over the phone. With candidates. We meet our referral sources in person all the time.
Right.
But our candidates, they're all over the country and so are we. So we talk to them over the phone. So I wanted to hire a coach for that. And I was recommended a lady who happens to be a doctor of emotional intelligence. And of course, communication styles fall right under that. Now, that was about 6 or so years ago. We have her at sales meetings at least twice a year. And I can modify what's causing issues at that particular time, and she can shift and give us words of advice to use during that. And one of the profound things she told us was that people hear 3 out of the 7 words you say the first time you say them. The second time, they hear 5 out of the 7, and really, unless you give them a visual, that's about as far as it ever goes. So, with that in mind, you have to think about how do you talk to your candidates? How do you make sure they get the information they need? How do you make sure everybody's on the same page? And so that's the kind of things we try and get into and make sure that we're satisfying everybody's questions.
And one person is going to hear 3 words, the other person is going to hear a different 3 words
Correct.
out of those seven, right? So, no, very true. I love that. I'm going to preface the next 2 questions I have for you, and then I'll probably have one more and I'll let you go. But as I was preparing for having amazing female leaders in franchising on this month, I ask an amazing female leader that I might possibly be married to, as well. I'm like, what do I ask? So the next 2 questions, if they suck, they came from her. If they're great, I'm editing this part out and it all came from me.
That's
Okay.
hilarious. Okay,
So,
go for it.
Sherry, what's your superpower?
Understanding people intuitively.
Ooh, and you said that so direct that it makes me, you're psychoanalyzing me right now. What's my
Perhaps.
body language saying? Am I leaning? Am I looking the right way?
No, I
Okay.
mean, I feel like I do a pretty good job of reading people, and that's not easy. That's also an emotional intelligence skill, right? Because I do know when to pause when I'm talking to somebody. And I do know when they're not listening. And I do know when the whole entire topic is wrong. So, that's kind of a superpower, I think.
I like it. And not one very many people have. The next one is, if you could tell the younger version of Sherry something, maybe you wish you would have learned, or do this, don't do that, what would be that thing current Sherry would tell younger Sherry?
Be bolder, faster. Don't take no for an answer. Don't put yourself in a box that you are making your own box. Like, you can do, like, why can't you go from this level to this level? Why, you don't have to go up. You don't have to touch every step to get to the top. So yeah, I'd say be more aware of what's out there and go for it. and make sure everybody knows you're going for it.
Which it sounds, I love that, but it also like kind of sounds ironic because you look at, you even talked with your history, you were the only, you were kind of a pioneer with that. So you kind of already did that, but even think you could have done it more or done it sooner.
I'm sort of embarrassed to say that in my first few years of Motorola, because I did not have a role model in my own personal life and family of what being in a corporation was like and what growth was. I just thought you did your job and, that's what you do. And then as I started to get promoted, first of all, when I was, again, I was in procurement for a while, and three of my promotions, some of the suppliers told me that I was going to get before I knew or before my boss knew. So in other words, they were observing behaviors in me that meant I should be promoted, but I was clueless and not realizing that that was happening. So, it took me till around 30 or so to realize that, hey, you can control this. You can be in charge instead of just, I thought, put your head down and do your work and you'll be recognized, which is true. But in this day and age, I think sometimes you have to brag about your accomplishments, and it's not bragging if they're true.
Right. Or you have to let people know that you want more, right? Because we all, and it's okay to not, but we've all seen people, or I'm sure for Fran Fun, and we have them, there's people that are in a role that they're super valuable, right? Where they put their head down, they do a good job. If they're happy there, that's great. Not everybody wants to advance. So being able to be not just vocal on, oh my gosh, look how amazing I am, but being able to go to whoever's ahead of you to say, how do I get there? Help me. And again, like you said, you didn't have that mentor to get you there. Did you figure that out on your own, or did at some point somebody kind of pull you aside?
Well, I started sort of self-realizing after, I was getting promoted, and then the mentor I mentioned, really, I didn't start working with him until, I mean, Motorola has grades, so I, move up about 4 or 5 grades before I started working with Pete very frequently. And so I did learn some things there about what the upper level looks like, and that you need to be managing up as much as managing down. And so, and the other thing about just to make a, and you did make this point, but I think it could be even further made, wanting to be ahead in actually having the skills to get ahead are sometimes two different things. So don't mistake just thinking you're going to morph yourself into the next level without doing the work it takes to get there and having the gravitas to go and ask somebody, what am I missing between this level and the next level? And then heeding the advice.
It's the and then and again, well, it's like it's, I remember this in the corporate years of having to do performance evaluations on our team, and there's the exceeds, there's the meets or whatever, right? All the silly stuff that you do, and but being able to explain to people like you're saying yourself exceeded, but you did your job. That didn't exceed. That you did your job. That's meets. That's good, but that's. Like that's like me going through college and saying I want to be like I should be valedictorian. Like, no, dude, you got C's. Like it got me the degree, right? But and that's okay. But you
That
can't
is an
just
excellent
do the
example.
job. You got to do more to get to that next level, right?
Excellent
So,
example.
super cool. So last thing I will throw at you, Sherry, and just I'll let you go because I know how busy you are, but just franchising in general. So somebody listening to this, thinking about possibly is franchising right for me? You've been in this industry and on all sides for a long time. What would be a piece of advice you would tell somebody trying to figure out if this is maybe for them?
If you are someone who has dreamed of owning your own business and have not figured out exactly what step one to that is, franchising is just such a beautiful thing because you are in, there's the cliche, I didn't make it up, but it's a tenement of franchising, is that You're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. You buy a franchise because I like to describe it as the recipe for the French fries. You're buying in the brand, whatever brand you're interested in, the recipe for the French fries. What the brand owes you is you follow that recipe to a letter and you will be successful. What you owe the brand is to follow that recipe to the letter and you will be successful. And if you don't follow the recipe, there's consequences for that. But you are in business. You have other franchisees that you can go to for advice. You have your franchisor support team. The economy of the United States depends on franchising for an incredible number of jobs. There are 800 and some thousand franchise establishments in the country. If you just conservatively said they each had 10 employees, you can just, quickly get to giant numbers of impact to the US economy. It's a wonderful industry. And when you are buying that franchise, you're getting marketing. You don't have to go invent your own. You don't have to decide where to advertise. You don't have to decide, so all the things. If you do your diligence and you get a franchise that meets your lifestyle goals, your financial goals, your time goals, all of those things, that's winning.
Super cool. And when you're ready for that and you need funding, do we know where they should go, Sherry?
I think a good idea would be Fran Fun because we are interested in, we love seeing people's successes. And that's one of the benefits we have of also having the third party administration in-house at Fran Fun. We do get to see people living out the life of their franchise agreement, and we get to see the ones cashing out and going off into happy, happy retirement land with Uncle Sam having contributed to their business success. And we see just fun success stories and more women. Love
Which
it.
is awesome. Which a great way to end this. So let's find some more. Let's get them to Fran Fun and help them be happy. So, always an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your time with us today.
Thanks, Tim. Love working with you and your
Thanks.
team.
Thank you so much. And as always, thank you to our loyal Franchising 101 podcast listeners for tuning in. If you are ready, if you've heard enough, you're ready to learn a little bit more to see if this might be your path, please reach out to us. You can find us social media all over the place, but online, francoach.net. And by the way, completely redesigned. So that's super fun. In fact, play a game. Go to francoach.net. See if you can find a typo on the new spot. Send me a message. Okay. And franchising101podcast.net. Again, always .net for us. Never, ever any fee for our service. We're here to educate you if this is the right path and then help you find your best fit if it is. So reach out. We're excited to work with you and we can help you create your better tomorrow. Thanks everybody for tuning in and we'll talk with you next week.